lot that happened over the weekend. Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Monday, January 19th, 2026. And oh my goodness, we're off to what a start for the year with everything that's going on. So let's see. We got to dive into this and do our best to analyze the situation. Of course, I've got some special reports for you. One of them I ran over the weekend. I'll run it today. It's called Why Western Governments Seek to Exterminate Their Own Populations. yes, that's coming. And we're going to cover the situation with Greenland. We're going to cover Trump's new tariffs against the EU countries. We're going to cover what happened over the weekend with the ICE agents and with the left-wing uprising in these blue cities, and also where all that is going. So anyway, we're going to jump into it. Also, I got to tell you, I did marathon vibe coding most of the weekend, except, well, when I wasn't lifting kettlebells and jogging and doing my strength training, fitness training, etc., which is a considerable amount of time, by the way. You know, when I was younger, this was like 20 years ago, I would spend about 3 hours a day in the gym because it took 3 hours to do everything that I wanted to do then. Now, I don't do that much anymore, but when I do my workout, which is jogging and kettlebells and body weight training, it takes me an hour and a half. So that's where I'm at right now, is an hour and a half, but I don't do it every day. So typically it's 4 days a week for me, hour and a half. So what is that? 6 hours a week. That's what I spend training. I used to spend like 15 to 20 hours a week, but that's what happens. I used to do 1,000 reps of a jump rope just to warm up with the jump roping. So 1,000 jump ropes takes some time. And then I did a bunch of groundwork and all kinds of stuff. Then got into the weight training and everything. But I don't jump rope anymore because I'm out in the forest. I tried jumping rope in the forest, and honestly, it just doesn't work with a dirt floor and there's twigs and stuff. It's the jump rope just has too many objects to interfere with. And I don't have a nice polished wooden gymnasium floor anymore. I have dirt. So jump roping is gone. All right, whatever. Let's talk about Greenland here for a second. Oh, well, real quick, the vibe coding I did over the weekend, it's the best vibe coding I've ever done. Like, total cognitive focus. And, you know, I didn't even take the cognitive peptides over the weekend. I forgot. I was so busy, so focused on coding. So my vibe coding over the weekend was 100% powered by chocolate that is cacao that we sell at our store, healthrangerstore.com, lab tested to make sure, you know, it's super clean because a lot of cacao has lead and cadmium in it. I don't know if you knew that. So we have super clean chocolate. I was doing chocolate, and then I was doing the certified organic freeze-dried coffee that I put into my smoothie. So I don't really drink coffee separately. That's too intense for me. I put it into my smoothie, though, and then I drink that smoothie over like 4 or 5 hours. And it's like, I don't know, it's like a teaspoon of freeze-dried coffee chunks, whatever they are, granules. So I was powered by that, you know, and it worked really well. I had the best vibe coding ever. I built the best project ever. I mean, this is such an advanced project that I built over the weekend. I can't wait to show it to you. I was blown away. And it was the culmination of all the other months that I've spent learning vibe coding and doing it to build things like the BrightLearn book engine, which I did not work on over the weekend. If you're wondering, where's all the features for that? Yeah, they're coming. They're coming. And by the way, I brought on an engineer to do vibe coding with me on some projects, and turns out it's a pretty steep learning curve. Not everybody naturally is good at vibe coding. It takes a certain kind of brain structure or something. So I found that there's either there's two extreme. Now, what, vibe coding, in case you're wondering, what is vibe coding? That just means writing code by prompting. I'm just prompting the AI to write the features that I want. And then it's doing that. So I'm not looking at code at all. I'm not writing lines of code. I'm not even editing code. I'm having the engine do it all. And I'm using Claude Code Opus 4.5 currently. But I discovered that there's two groups of people that are not necessarily good at jumping into vibe coding. On one side, there's people who have zero technical knowledge, that they don't know how databases work. They don't know anything about, you know, what is a CSS style sheet? What is HTML code? What's a comma separated list? You know, like really basic things. If they don't know those things, they're not good at vibe coding, because you have to have some level of understanding of how things work. Like, what is a browser? You know, how does the browser, which is the client side, talk to the server? What is the server? Where is it? What's happening between the client and the server? What are dynamic pages? What are static pages? What are API calls? You know, et cetera, et cetera. There is a basic vocabulary that has to be nailed down for people to be decent at vibe coding, or they're just like walking around in the dark. And then on the other side, there's people who are really highly technical, highly experienced, either developers or engineers or network admins, people who have tons of technical knowledge. And then they overdo it on vibe coding. They make it too complicated, and they're sort of trying to control the AI too much. And then, right in the sweet spot, right in the middle, there's people like me. People like me who have pretty good technical knowledge. We're not expert coders, but we know enough to give the AI agents the right instructions. And we also are like high-level abstract thinkers, where I don't care how you get this done. I'm talking to the AI agent. I don't care how you do it. Just freaking do this. Like, here's what I want. And so let me give an example of that. I needed to add a full-text search function to the Bright Learn.ai book database, because I want to be able to search all the books for certain, you know, for related paragraphs and things for this other project. It's going to be really interesting. It'll help promote all the books. And so I was asking the AI agent, I said, hey, how do I add a full text search to this underlying database, which is what's called a PostgreSQL database, or Postgres for short. And it said, well, guess what? Good news. Postgres already has a capability called, I think it's like full text search or whatever it is. And all you have to do is add another field to the table, which is an index vector field. And then it will index the whole text of the book and tokenize it in a way that I can do freeform text searches that will return results very, very quickly, without having to scan the full text of every book, because there's like over 21,000 books now. And that number is going to hit, you know, 100,000 in a few months, right? So I said, well, that sounds great. We can do a full text index. Tell me, what's that going to break? You know, like, is that going to break the database? Is that going to slam the CPU? Is that going to cause interruptions? You know, I start asking it the stuff that I know as a high-level thinker. Like, I want to know how this is going to break the thing. So I start hammering those questions. Is it going to break it? Does the database go offline? Does it have to re-index anything else? Does it have to drop a field and recreate a field in the schema of the table? Like, on and on and on. So I'm interrogating the AI agent, and it keeps telling me, no, it's good. It's all good. It's not going to hurt anything. Everything's going to work fine. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to make a local dump backup copy of the whole thing before I even attempt this. And it says, okay, you're going to need PG dump, Postgres. That's what PG stands for. You're going to need PG dump. You got to dump the whole table to your local computer. So I said, okay, where do I get pg.dump? Oh, you got to go here. You got to install this. And then I got to write this script, and I got to have the API key, et cetera. So I have it do all that stuff. And then as of right now, I have my database taking a dump on my desktop. It's happening right now. I'm watching it. My Postgres is taking a PG dump onto my desktop computer right now, is downloading everything. And as soon as it's done dumping, then I'm going to attempt this indexing thing and hope it doesn't kill the thing. So I did all my due diligence. I did all my part. Okay. I grilled it with every question I could think of. And so far, you know, it looks like it'll be smooth sailing. So the reason I share this with you is because one of the skills that you are going to have to learn, and myself, all of us, is how to talk to robots. How do we talk to robots? Well, I guarantee you, if you learn how to vibe code, and I've said before, the easiest place to start is called Replit, REPLIT.com. I must have 1,000 people using that thing now, just from my own recommendations. I think Replit should give me like a free month or something. I don't know, but I've promoted it so much just because it's a great engine and it's easy for people to get started. Just go to Replit.com, learn how to vibe code. Once you learn how to do anything in vibe coding, you can ask it to create a PowerPoint presentation. You can ask it to build a website, ask it to create graphics, ask it to create videos, ask it to build a brochure, a PDF file that you want to print at Kinko's, or, well, I guess Kinko's isn't around, wherever. You can just ask it to do stuff for you, okay? Just learn how to do it, because that skill set will translate into how you talk to robots. And the thing about AI robots is they're going to be autistic, just like the AI agents are. And I don't mean to be insulting at all to parents of autistic children. That's not how I mean it. What I mean is sort of in a like a Rain Man genius kind of way, you know, autistic children can be very capable in one area, but then they can miss the big picture in other areas. They often lack discernment or social context or holistic goal-oriented behavior, even though they can be really strong in many focused areas. Well, AI robots are going to be just like that. Trust me, because this is how AI agents act. So if you have a robot, let's say you buy a humanoid robot in the next couple of years, because it's going to take time, and this robot, you want it to pick food for you, or, you know, grow food, grow a garden, and you want it to pick your tomatoes. So you tell it, hey, I want you to go out there, and here's the garden. You see it? There it is. I want you to only pick the ripe tomatoes. And it's like, okay. And it goes off, and it comes back, and it's picked all your green tomatoes, you know? And you're like, I thought I asked you to pick only the ripe tomatoes, and the sad part is you can't put those green ones back on the vine. And it will say, oh, I'm sorry. I thought green tomatoes were ripe tomatoes, you know, or whatever. See, it lacks the discernment. And when you ask a robot to fold your laundry, it's going to do weird things. Trust me. It's going to do weird things. Like, it'll say, okay, it'll run off, and it'll fold your dirty laundry. And then you're like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm folding your laundry. And then you'll have to clarify, don't fold the laundry in the dirty clothes basket. And the robot will say, oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you wanted me to fold all the laundry because that's what you said. You know, you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to baby this robot. So, see, it doesn't understand the real world the way you and I understand it, to have that discernment, you know. And this is why I believe that home robots are many years away, because, you know, there's going to be an incident. Trust me. Somebody says, you know, put all the laundry in the, you know, in the washing machine and start to look. And the robot is going to do it. And the cat is going to be in that basket, and they're going to throw the cat in the washer. You know, like that kind of thing is going to happen. And the robot is not going to see anything wrong with throwing a cat in the washing machine. It's like, well, doesn't the cat need to be cleaned too? You know, like, again, this is what I'm talking about. Like, lacking big picture discernment. So these companies that are claiming that they're going to have robots in your house this year, I'm telling you, it's a scam or a hoax or whatever you want to call it, or just hype, vaporware. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. There's not going to be robots for sale on the market that you can buy this year that you can put in your home that are going to do anything other than just wreck everything and fall down the stairs and smash your pets. Okay? So trust me on that point. Home robots are still a ways away. Now, industrial robots, totally different deal. You know, warehouse robots, yeah, no problem. You know, factory worker robots, I get that. Even industrial agricultural robots, because it's the same, you know, repetitive thing over and over again. But robots navigating your home with all your, you know, your weird little room structures and all the stuff you have sitting around that's in the way everywhere, and your slippery rugs and everything, you know, that is never going to happen in the next year. Nope. Nope. Not going to happen. So I'll finish up this topic shortly, but did I tell you that I had this mopping robot, the Narwhal Flow, which is a really good mopping robot, by the way, by far the best mopping robot. And that's a Chinese company. And they received a massive investment from, I think, Tencent, a VC company that invests in Chinese companies. Anyway, the Narwhal Flow, it's about to be replaced by the Narwhal Flow 2. So, and that's coming out like April or May or something. Anyway, the Narwhal Flow, it's got this sort of tracked, very wide mop that rotates. What's the best way to describe it? It's like a, whatever. It's not like two circular mops. It doesn't do that. Anyway, I think I already mentioned this, but the Narwhal Flow robot, you know, the pump broke. Actually, it was my fault because I put peppermint oil in the fresh water tank, and it caused the diaphragm in the water pump to swell, which caused it to no longer pump. And I ruined it, so I had to figure out. I bought this $15 part online on Amazon, and a DC pump, and I replaced the pump, and that works great. And that's a $1,500 robot that I fixed with a $15 pump, by the way. And I posted about this on X and my Telegram channel and Brighton Social. I wanted it to discover this new room that it hadn't mapped out before because I had my door closed. And the room is my office. And so I opened the door to my office and I unleashed the robot and I said, you know, go clean over there. It's supposed to discover a new area. And then a mapping icon pops up. Like, do you want to map this area? I'm like, yes, map the area. Because I wanted to mop my office floor, which is a hard surface floor, by the way. I don't like carpets. I don't like carpets at all. Too much synthetic crap and dust mites and everything else. So anyway, and plus I have dogs. I don't want dogs and carpet. You know, I just have like pillows for the dogs. You know, they love that. Anyway, the robot comes around the corner coming into my office, and my dogs that are hanging out with me, even like right now, they start freaking out. So the dogs all stand up. And they're like, what is this robot? So the dogs stand up, and the robot's like, all these legs are in the way. So the robot tries to turn here, turn there, and the dogs, all their legs are in the way. There's a bunch of legs, because it's more than one dog. And then the robot's like, I give up, and it goes back. It didn't map the office. So, like, I got a dog problem for my robot here. Like, how am I going to get this robot to map the office when my dogs are freaking out? Right? And by the way, this robot is quiet. This is a very quiet robot. It's the quietest that I've actually ever tried. It's very quiet. it's almost like a stealth bot. Maybe that's what freaked it out, but it has a light on the front. And the light is, it looks like, you know, a Cylon zzz, like walking around. The dogs don't like it. So anyway, what I had to do, I had to get some treats for the dogs and take them outside and give them treats while I unleashed the robot to map the office, which it did. And then it came back and it vacuumed it and it mopped it, and it's clean. Man, that was the best thing ever. Oh, and one more tip for those of you who have mopping robots. You don't want to put peppermint oil in the fresh water tank, like I said, but there is another place to put it. So if you have floors that won't be harmed by it, like if you have either, you know, like a vinyl or linoleum or concrete or something that's not wood or like fake wood, you can just throw essential oils right on the floor where the robot is going to mop. And then it will spread those oils around while it's mopping. And my theory is that these mopping robots have a much tougher dirty water pump. See, the clean water pump can't handle all the crazy stuff. It's a cheaper pump. And the clean water pump, you know, it's not the same pump as the dirty water pump. They're two different pumps, I think, probably on all the mopping robots. So, but the dirty water pump, they probably paid an extra 50 cents to have the right kind of material that is immune to whatever toxic stuff is all over people's floors. And so my experience so far is that the dirty water can have essential oils in it, no problem. And I haven't had an issue with that pump. Anyway, just a little tip for you. But anyway, the narwhal robot, it says you can talk to it, and you can't. You can't at all. Even the app says you can talk to the robot. You're supposed to say, "Hey, Nawa," because that's supposed to be a cute short name for this obnoxious dog-hating robot. And not really. You're supposed to say, "Hey, Nawa." It doesn't work. You can scream it all you want. It doesn't work at all. So I have no idea what they're talking about. You can't talk to this robot. All right. Real quick. Hey, are all of you on the eastern half of the U.S., are you enjoying the deep freeze right now? I think it's even hitting Florida or about to. My co-host Todd, he was telling me that his food forest is about to get hammered by another freeze. Oh, man. That guy's food forest has been through hell. It went through floods and hurricanes and freezes, and it keeps coming back, you know? But it's going to go through another horrible freeze, apparently. So hoping for the best for that food forest. But are you doing okay wherever you are? Stay warm, stay safe. Don't slip on the ice, you know, be cool. Stay off the roads if they're icy, you know, the whole deal. I mean, this is another example of why it's important to have preparedness. And you have your own home food supply, you know, have your own emergency medicine, backup communications, you know, all the backup power, right? Probably going to be some power outages here and there as the icy trees break the branches and fall on the electrical wires, things like that. So, be prepared, as always. I know you are, but be ready, and you'll be fine. I'm just thinking, man, this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, is supposed to be freezing cold and rainy in Texas, and I'm supposed to be lifting kettlebells on the weekend, so I'm not sure how that's going to go. Let's talk about gold and silver for a second here, because gold right now, as I'm looking at it in the overseas trading, is over $93. Silver, sorry, is over $93 an ounce. Gold is $4,670, something like that. All right, silver is over $93. And in Shanghai, which is the right way to pronounce that city in Chinese, by the way, it's over $100 an ounce for physical silver right now. Now, over the weekend, this is really shocking. Here we go. The U.S. Mint that sells silver eagles decided to update their pricing for 1 ounce of silver. purchased directly from the U.S. Mint. And when I saw the price, I didn't believe it. I mean, I saw people talking about it. I didn't believe it. I was like, there's no way that's true. So I checked it out myself. I went to the U.S. Mint official website and saw the listing, took a screenshot, and I put it out on social media. I'm like, this is true. It's $173 for 1 ounce of silver. So that's the actual U.S. Mint Silver Eagle price for a new set, or a new coin from the U.S. Mint. It's $173. You know, 2 years ago, that was less than $30, I think. Yeah, sure, it was. It had to be. I mean, even a year ago, it was less, probably, or maybe it was in the 30s by the time you add the premium from the Mint. But I got to tell you, $173, what does that tell you? It tells you something crazy is going down. It also tells you that the physical price of silver is radically departing from the paper spot price of the COMEX market. The spot price is like I said, $93 something. Whereas the physical price apparently is, $173 for the gold, the silver eagles. I keep saying gold. It's because these prices are almost gold prices, you know, from a couple decades ago. So that doesn't mean that every silver coin is worth $173 or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But I am here. I did talk to my friends in the silver industry over the last couple of days. They said, yeah. Well, Andy Scheckman in particular, he said it's getting very hard to find physical silver. They've still got it, but it's harder to find. I talked to Chris Olson at Battalion Metals. That's our sponsor. He said basically the same thing. He said, we've still got silver, and we have a lot of the junk silver still on hand. And, you know, we're still able to get it, but the mints are slowing down deliveries. And it looks like this is the run-up to a shortage of silver. Well, I mean, clearly, globally, there's a shortage because of industry demand. But I mean, this is a run-up to a real shortage at retail, which had not been the case. I mean, a year ago, there was all the silver you wanted for less than $30. Now, it's like, kind of hard to find silver, and it's over 90. By the time you put in the premium, it's over $100. Right now, it's over $100. By the way, if you want to get silver, definitely check out Battalion Metals, our sponsor at metalswithmike.com. And remember, that's the company co-founded by Tucker Carlson and Chris Olson. Highly trustworthy, high integrity company. metalswithmike.com. And if you buy gold or silver from them, use my discount code RANGER, which will waive the shipping insurance fee. Not the shipping fee, but the shipping insurance fee. So that will save you something. But here's something interesting. Even though silver is over $100 now, again, by the time you put in the premium, and even though food inflation is crazy and health insurance inflation is crazy and inflation on a lot of things is very, very bad right now, did you know that food prices priced in gold or silver are not higher than they used to be? In other words, the rise of the value of metals is outpacing the inflationary rise in the pricing of food. So that leads me to the obvious conclusion here. The best way to beat inflation of the things or in the things that you buy is to stack metal, because the metal will rise in value faster than the inflation, whereas dollars are losing value faster than inflation. You know, dollars are losing value so fast because, well, we're saying the same thing in two different ways, because inflation is the phenomenon of too much supply of the currency, dollars in this case. So, of course, dollars are losing value rapidly while food prices are going up. But I guess that's the same thing. Whereas gold and silver, you know, if you bought gold and silver 10 years ago, today, and that metal represented a certain number of pounds of ground beef, a certain number of chicken egg, or dozen egg cartons, or a certain number of gallons of milk, or whatever it is you buy. For me, it's like bushels of quinoa, you know, whatever it is. You fast forward to today, your metal buys more of that stuff, even at today's prices in the grocery store. So you see, the best way to beat inflation is to get metal. Get gold and silver. It will rise in value faster than the inflation. Whereas if you stay in dollars, you're losing big time. So that's important to, you know, to recognize. And did you know this is true for anything that you want to buy? For example, housing. You say, well, housing's gone up over the years, although a lot of housing is down right now. But housing has gone up over the last decade compared to dollars. However, housing has not gone up compared to where metals are today, especially with last year's rise in silver and gold. So metals made housing affordable. Metals made food affordable. Metals have made everything affordable if you own the metals. That's a really interesting way to look at things. Even if you like crypto, because metals have made crypto more affordable. In other words, if you bought silver 5 years ago and at whatever it was, $18 or whatever, and then you swap silver for crypto or for Bitcoin today, let's say, then Bitcoin would seem really cheap compared to the ounces of silver. Then Bitcoin would seem really cheap today priced in silver. And you know, now that I'm saying that, it's reminding me to check Monero. And here it is, still over $620. My goodness. And let's see, I'm checking Xano, which is the favorite privacy crypto of myself and Aaron Day and others. And Xano's under 10 bucks. It's $9.77, which is pretty amazing. I mean, pretty amazingly cheap, considering the really remarkable technology that it has. And I'm aware of some people working on some interesting projects with Xano. Not me, but other people who've kept me informed of what they're doing. It's pretty cool. I'm just focused on AI, you know, AI projects, not crypto. But crypto is, or privacy crypto, I should say, is a good way to store value if you want it to be rapidly movable. Although I still prefer gold and silver just for the, you know, I mean, it's real. It's like, you can see the stack. There it is. Okay, speaking of gold and silver, Trump did something really interesting over the weekend. So you may have heard this. Trump said, this was, I think, on Saturday. Trump had another rage fit, we'll call it. And he announced that because of Greenland and because the European leaders are losing their minds over Greenland, which is, I guess, kind of expected, because what claim do we have to Greenland? We don't have any claim to Greenland. But the European leaders are losing their minds, which is hilarious because they're such morons. The leaders, I'm saying, not the people, but the leaders. It's like they found, you know, the dumbest woke idiots from the universe and let them run the UK or France or Germany, you know. Anyway, Trump slapped a 10% tariff on all goods coming out of the UK beginning in about 2 weeks. So February 1st, everything coming out of the UK. In fact, everything coming out of any country in Europe that is resisting Trump taking over Greenland is going to get a 10% additional tariff on February 1st, followed by a raise to 25% tariff on June 1st. Think about that. Now, that's going to affect Denmark, Germany, France. I already mentioned the UK, and there's some other countries that are going to be impacted by this. So Trump has clearly weaponized tariffs at this point. And this one angered a lot of his colleagues in the GOP, a lot of them. Senator Murkowski, for example, and others were firing back and said, this is crazy. Why are we punishing our friends in Europe? I'm laughing my ass off because we bombed Nord Stream. Come on. We committed an Article 5 violation act of warfare against Europe by bombing Nord Stream, destroying the entire Russian gas supply to all of Western Europe. We did that, and the European leaders just stood there and took it. And they said, well, America's our friends. Meanwhile, everybody knows. I mean, Joe Biden bragged about it. Victoria Nuland bragged about it. They were all bragging about us blowing up Nord Stream, okay? Of course we blew up Nord Stream. And the European leaders, all they did was bend over and say, give me more. Well, guess what? Trump will give you more. Yeah, more pain. How about some tariffs? On top of the fact that we destroyed your energy infrastructure, the U.S. military committed an act of terrorism against civilian infrastructure by destroying the Nord Stream pipelines. So now we're going to commit economic terror against the EU with the tariffs. I mean, it's almost laughable because it's so freaking insane. I mean, every part of this is insane. Like even the part of Trump claiming Greenland, we're going to get it. We're going to take it. We're, you know, whatever it takes, military, whatever. The part that in America, now one guy can set all the tariffs for all the countries all over the world with no checks and balances at all in the system. Supreme Court hasn't ruled on it. Congress basically says nothing. They've rolled over. Senate, well, a couple of them are starting to speak out, but mostly no. The courts aren't doing anything about this. I mean, this is one guy setting trade policies based on who he wants to punish today. And that question, who does he want to punish? He wants to punish Europe. and he's doing it. Now, what does this have to do with gold and silver? Well, the LBMA is in London. The LBMA. What is it? Is it the London Bullion Metals Association? Is that what that stands for? Anyway, it's kind of like the COMEX of London, the COMEX of Europe, let's say. So that's where all the metals are stored, or allegedly stored. that's where silver is bought and sold for Europe, is out of the LBMA. Well, so Trump slaps a 10% tariff on everything coming out of Europe. Well, that obviously includes silver. So, in other words, there's a genius element to this move. Let me just say this up. This is another genius element. And I don't believe in 5D chess and all of that, but there are times where in the middle of Trump's insanity, he does something brilliant. This is one of those times. Because by slapping a 10% tariff on silver coming out of London, this is going to cause, over the next 2 weeks, every person in the world who has any money and who, well, it's not going to be every person, but anybody who's in the metals space who has any money and any sense at all is going to do what? They're going to pull every ounce of gold and silver out of London that they possibly can and bring it either to the U.S., New York, or to their own country, wherever they are. Why? Because it's going to be, there will be a penalty to bring gold and silver to the United States after February 1st, a 10% penalty. That's a massive penalty. It's massive. You know, the margins in this business are often, especially at the highest levels, the margins are less than 1%. So having a 10% tax for moving metal from London to New York, well, nobody's going to want to do that after February 1st, which means everybody's going to panic to drain the gold and silver out of London before February 1st. That's genius on Trump's part, or whoever put this plan together, because, and now this gets to the Tom Luongo strategy here, or explanation of the world, and I don't agree with everything that Tom says, but I think he's right about the fact that Trump is at war with the city of London. And Trump is going to gut the royal family, the British crown, the globalist British, did I say crown? I meant clowns, the royal clown family. Trump is going to gut them by draining all their metal. I mean, he did it even almost a year ago. There was a massive pull of metal out of London to New York, and it's going to happen again. Mark my words, it'll happen starting right now. As you are listening to this, the orders are going in. And the LBMA is going to have to make up a bunch of excuses why they can't ship metal. Oh, our forklifts are broken. Well, freaking use mules, you know? Carry them by hand. I mean, do what is necessary. Hire the illegals to move it. You know, you got lots of them in London. Whatever. So there's going to be all kinds of excuse making. And then February 1st, the metal supply chain is shut off from Europe. Shut off. So at that point, all the people who have silver and gold in America, do you think that they will sell it to London? You know, when London needs it, because London's having a supply collapse and a panic, and probably the LBMA will be facing a physical default pretty soon, and they're going to desperately say, we want metal from New York, you know, ship us silver. Do you think anybody in New York is going to ship silver to London knowing that if they have to bring it back, it's going to be plus 10%? No, not going to happen. The American people are going to hold on to their metal. Or, I mean, the investors, the banks, J.P. Morgan, sitting on millions of ounces right now. They're going to hoard metal like crazy. It's going to turn every American bank and every investor into basically like a bunker mentality metal survivalist. They're going to be hoarding metals like the world is ending. That's going to happen now. And then if this continues to June 1. Oh my God, 25% on the metals? Forget it. Trump is draining the globalist swamp, which is centered in London. So of course, Keir Stalin said the tariffs are, quote, completely wrong. And he said it's going to lead to higher costs for families in the UK and the US. He's probably right. And so the European Union is loading up what they call their trade bazooka. They're going to have a €93 billion retaliation package. I can't wait for these morons in Europe to try to retaliate. Oh, this is going to be so much fun to cover. First of all, the name Trade Bazooka is hilarious because it's so fitting, because the bazooka was outdated the moment it was created. It's like a World War II era, you know, supposedly an anti-tank weapon. It was obsolete from day one. The Germans did it better, actually, with the, what was it called? The Panzerfaust, I think is what it was called. The Germans had a much better anti-tank weapon. The bazooka was a joke. It was inaccurate. The rounds were duds. It would bounce off the German panzers, you know, or the Tigers. Bazooka is a reference to some old, outdated, useless technology. So that's perfect for the European countries to cite that. And also, what happened to Germany? Germany used to lead the world in technology and industry. Germany had the best scientists. All the, you know, top physicists came out of Berlin, you know. Germany was leading the world, you know, at the turn of the 20th century. Now they're a joke. Total joke. The German leadership is just like woke idiot morons. And it's almost like they celebrate their own suicide cult at this point. So I don't know what happened to Germany. They should call this the trade Panzerfaust, would be more impressive. Anyway, I think that's what it's called. I don't speak German, so I'm not sure. But the Europeans are going to have this. It's $108 billion if you translate it into dollars. These are going to be retaliatory tariffs on the United States if Trump carries out this February 1st threat to slap the 10% tariff on all these European countries. And so Euronews is reporting this is going to be, you know, this $100 billion punitive package. Now, let me tell you about that package here in a second. But first, let me introduce you to the genius of the European leadership. These are the morons that already gave all their weapons to Ukraine. Everything they had, all their artillery, all their tanks, even their museum pieces, they sent them over to Ukraine. Everything, all the ammunition, all the drones, all the missiles, like everything they had. They emptied their storage bunkers and they sent it all to Ukraine since 2022. Okay? So now Trump is threatening to conquer Greenland and the European Union has no weapons. Not the UK either. None of them have any weapons. Guess where they're trying to buy the weapons to defend Greenland? From the United States. Yeah, can't make this up. Because it's so retarded. You can't make this up. These same morons that celebrated the U.S. blowing up their energy pipeline and gave all their weapons to Ukraine to try to destroy Russia. Not only did that totally fail, made Russia stronger, and Ukraine has been, let's face it, largely defeated at this point, and Europe is defenseless, and then Trump says, I'm taking Greenland. What are you going to do about it, you punks? Then these European leaders are like, will you sell us weapons so we can fight off your military when they invade our countries? And what do you think Trump's going to say? Trump's going to say, you guys are clowns. We're going to take everything we want. We're going to take Denmark, too. We're not stopping at Greenland, bitches. We're taking Denmark. I actually think that's the plan. I think Trump's taking Denmark. I mean, he'll probably take a bunch of surrounding nations just to piss them off. He's like, I'm taking Finland. Who cares? I'm taking Norway. What are the Europeans going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing. They are powerless. They're weaponless. They have no energy. They have nothing. Because they all got woke and retarded and stupid. They destroyed their own domestic energy supply to appease the climate retards. And then they gave all their weapons to Ukraine. They're all destroyed. And also, they've allowed themselves to be invaded by illegals to the point where they have nothing left. Not even churches. All the churches are all burned up now. That's European leadership for you right there. Too stupid to survive. Too stupid to have a future of civilization on this planet. And Trump is just walking in there and just doing what any conqueror would do, saying, oh, you didn't defend Greenland. I guess that means you want us to have it. So we're just going to take it, bitches. And the leader of France is so desperate at this point, Macron, he's going to request the activation of something they call the anti-coercion instrument. Can't make this up. Anti-coercion instrument. Your government does nothing but coerce people. Remember COVID? Remember the jabs? Remember the masks? Remember the lockdowns? You are the coercion tyrants. And now you want an anti-coercion instrument? Why? Because you don't like who's coercing you now. Oh, well, guess what? Maybe you had it coming, France. And if you look at what the European countries are going to, you know, tariff that's coming out of the U.S., here are the top items that are going to be affected. Bourbon whiskey. So the Europeans won't be able to get as drunk as usual. Life is going to suck when they have no energy, no economy, and no whiskey all at the same time. It's going to affect aircraft. Oh, boy. It means they're going to have to rely on, you know, European-made aircraft, which are not that great. Soybeans. Because America exports a lot of soybeans. Auto parts. Let's see. What else? Steel. Orange juice and poultry. Oh, yeah. And aluminum. Okay. So then probably when that kicks in, Trump is going to say, oh, you tariff our whiskey, we're going to tariff your wine out of France. You know, and then wine prices will double or triple. and we're going to be in this full-blown trade war. And then, you know, think about Boeing stock prices are going to plummet, obviously, because they export a lot of airplanes to Europe, and, you know, whoever makes whiskey and whoever makes steel and aluminum in the U.S. that goes to Europe. And then guess what else is going to happen? The price of the Dawson knives that we partner with Dawson, those are going to go sky high because that steel, that special steel alloy comes out of the EU. Because the steel plant in Syracuse, New York was closed down that used to get it. Well, it was purchased, I'm sorry, by this, what is it, Switzerland company or whoever it is. And now they have to ship it out of the EU. So there's going to be another tariff on that, which means, you know, CPM3V, MagnaCut, all these special alloys are going to go up even higher. That's crazy. Anyway, this trade war is going to be insane. And then the anti-coercion instrument that Macron is talking about, this is going to probably target U.S. tech companies. And remember that European leaders have already targeted X and tried to slap these big multi-million dollar fines on X because of the lack of sufficient censorship, you know. So they're gonna punish U.S. tech companies. They're gonna the Europeans are. They're gonna try to maybe hit Google or X or Facebook or anybody they can. And basically, this is a divorce. This is a divorce between the United States and Europe. And I think that it's time to file for divorce with the EU, frankly, because the EU is a horrible partner in marriage. I mean, they're horrible. You know, they're all about censorship and authoritarianism, and they ran the Trump-Russia dossier hoax and all that stuff. They interfered with our elections. They laundered all the censorship regime stuff that went to big tech, even targeted me through their censorship efforts. And all these NGOs, it all went through MI6 and British intelligence. Yeah, you know what? I don't care if the whole freaking leadership collapses over there. I think it'd be awesome. So, you know, what's really just almost hilarious about all of this is that you fast forward to maybe next winter, if all these tariffs are still going on, you're going to have European citizens, you know, paying like $100 for a bottle of whiskey, trying to get drunk and stay warm because they have no energy. They're shivering and freezing in their own cold homes, defenseless with no military, no weapons, trade is collapsing, while the Russians are going to be warm and toasty, filling their bellies with, you know, warm borscht soup or whatever, and having a great time over there with affordable food, plenty of weapons, plenty of missiles, got Oreshnik every day, anywhere they want to fire it. Energy's cheap, electricity cheap, manufacturing kicking ass, domestic steel production, industry off the charts, you know, strong currency. Russia is going to be doing great, and Europe is going to be on the verge of total collapse because the European leadership tried to destroy Russia, and they failed. They failed, and now Europe is on its deathbed, and Western Europe. Really, that's where this is going. And then Trump just like shoves the dagger in a little more. Yeah, bleed out a little more. Because, you know, tariffs. Give me your gold. Give me your silver. Give me your land. Give me Greenland. By the way, don't you think that Greenland should be named Iceland and Iceland should be named Greenland? Am I the only one who thinks that? Because maybe I'm just not well informed, but I've seen pictures of Greenland. It looks pretty icy, and I've seen pictures from Iceland and it looks pretty green sometimes. So I think the Europeans got really drunk and they mixed up the names a while back, couple hundred years ago, and the name's just stuck, and it's been that way ever since. So I'm hoping if Trump conquers Greenland, he can rename it to something more appropriate, like he renamed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. So why not conquer Greenland and let's just rename it Trumpland? and melt into the snow a giant T that can be seen from orbit. T for Trump land. This is Trump land. Kind of like, you know, when you go to Disneyland, you go through the gates, you know you're in Disneyland. Everything's got Mickey Mouse and everything. You land in Trump land, everything's Trump. He's got the Trump steaks and the Trump hotels and the Trump snowy golf courses and whatever else. It should be just called Trump land. And then history would have no doubt of who took it. Trump took it. Trump took it because the Europeans got so retarded they couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't even run their own economies or industry or anything. They couldn't protect their own borders. What did you expect was going to happen? If you can't defend your borders, somebody's going to take your land, you know? Someone like Trump. I mean, look, I agree. He has no legal right whatsoever to do it. I still hope he does it. Just to shove it in their faces over there. Such morons. I'm not talking about the people of Greenland, just to be clear. I'm not talking about the people of the UK or the people of France. I mean, again, I'm talking about the leadership. Who the people despise their own leaders over there. They can't get rid of them because there's globalists at every level of the government. You know, you vote one of them out of office, like Boris Johnson. You know, you get another one. You get Stalin. I mean, the UK has gone through so many prime ministers in the last decade. Everybody's lost count. One of them lasted like 3 weeks. It's like a never-ending line of globalists, you know? They've got them lined up. And every once in a while, they send one over to Canada. That run Canada for us. Turn that into a globalist paradise, you know? And Carney's like, sure, I'm game. Let's do it. So he did. Yeah, I forgot to mention that after the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, it also forced Europe to buy liquid natural gas from the U.S. It's like, we blew up your pipeline so that you can buy energy from us at like quadruple the cost. And the Europeans said, okay, we'll just pay triple or quadruple the cost. It's just like, again, Western Europe is too stupid to exist. The leadership, too stupid to exist. They've committed total suicide, economic suicide, now geopolitical suicide, cultural suicide, financial suicide, all of it. Yeah, good riddance. The world doesn't need a bunch of, you know, vampire pedos anyway, running the place. Now, given that Trump is filing for divorce against Europe, but Trump is playing the role of the ex-wife. Trump is like, I'm going to take the house. I want the car. I want the land. I want the money. I want the medals. You can have the dog. You know, Trump's being the wife of the divorce here. He's like, you give me everything. You have nothing. And the Europeans are just going to have to just gulp down hard and deal with it because there's nothing they can do. Nothing they can do. What are they going to do? Send a couple of, I don't know, like dancing, frolicking Denmark soldiers over to see? They put out a video of them trying to dance like the nurses with the vaccines, the COVID dancing videos you saw in all the hospitals. They put that video out last year, how they're ready for war because they dance like they're all gay, which is probably true. It's like, yeah, you don't scare anybody. Nobody's intimidated by your faggoty military dance routines, okay? Just go home, let the adults figure this out. And the European countries have already proven they absolutely will not protect their borders at all. So why should Trump stop at Greenland? He should just keep on going. Just take them all. Because the European leaders won't do anything. They've already abandoned their countrymen and women, their history, their culture, everything. They've abandoned it all. Let's just roll it all up. Call it the Atlantic America or something. Call it Greater Trump Land. Sell tickets, you know. You realize how much paper would be saved? How many trees would be saved on this planet if we just get rid of all European paperwork? Like, that alone is a pro-Earth move. Like, all the environmentalists in the world should want to get rid of European leadership just to save the trees. That's how bad the paperwork is. Still, to this day, it's amazing. All right, let's shift gears to Trump's domestic troubles for a second. Sorry, I can't stop laughing sometimes because of the insanity of everything that's going on. We are truly living in idiocracy. But the Pentagon is preparing 1,500 troops. These are active duty U.S. military troops that are apparently going to be deployed to Minnesota to start the Civil War, I'm pretty sure. The Washington Post did a story on this over the weekend. So the ICE agents are getting attacked, but they're also doing their share of attacking, like kneeing people in the face when they're on the pavement, shooting people, just a few things like that. But remember my theory that ICE agents were told to provoke as much of anger and uprising from the left as possible. Remember that Trump needs, at least this is my theory, Trump needs the Insurrection Act in order to deploy troops, in order to really root out the Democrat fraud and to run the election later this year to make sure the Democrats don't cheat and steal all the House seats, which of course they will if you give them half a chance. And in order to do this, Trump needs the radical left to rise up and start killing federal agents, which plenty of leftists are falling right into that trap, and they're putting out all kinds of, tough talk about how they're going to start shooting people, this and that. And that's a trap, that's Trump's trap. He set it for them, and they're falling right into it. So the next step now is apparently 1,500 active duty troops, which you might think, well, doesn't that violate posse comitatus? And that's funny that you should ask, because Trump doesn't care about any law, obviously, at this point, or any constitution. He already said so. There's no limits on his power other than his own mind. Remember that? He said that a week ago. So, don't even cite any. There's no rule of law in America any longer. There's just force. That's all there is. There's just force. And there's going to be soldiers in your streets. They're going to be in your face, and they're going to be demanding your papers, your citizenship proof. So if you're listening to this, if you look a little bit, South American or Asian or what else could you look like? Just anything that's not, I guess, like middle America white people, or if you look like you're not necessarily American, which is a hard thing to describe because America is a melting pot, but you could be targeted by these ICE agents. They could detain you. They could beat you, throw you to the ground, whatever, break your windows. If you're Native American, that's the other thing, right? That happened over the weekend too. Native American driving back to the reservation, ICE got all up in his face and got violent with him because he didn't have his paperwork. Why do Native Americans need paperwork? They've been here longer than the rest of us. Well, I'm part Native American, so I guess I qualify a little bit, but they were here first, So why do they need paperwork? Anyway, ICE is going crazy on purpose. The left is uprising, falling into the trap, and now here's the next stage, exactly as I predicted it last week. Exactly. Mark my words, this one is easy to predict. So the next step is going to be the Insurrection Act. I'm willing to bet a lot that Trump will invoke the Insurrection Act this week. And over the weekend, InfoWars reported that they got intel, or I guess Alex got intel. I haven't spoken with him. I don't know. But Alex got intel that Trump is going to invoke the Insurrection Act. I mean, sometimes that intel's good, sometimes it's bad, who knows? But it seems likely. And that's exactly where Trump wanted to put this. So once the Insurrection Act is underway, then Minneapolis is going to be turned into a war zone. And remember, I did a whole special with Steve Quayle a few years ago called Battlefield America. Steve and I predicted exactly this, that especially the cities would be turned into active combat war zones, left versus right. And here we are. So once the Insurrection Act is invoked, then you're going to see radical leftists in many cities, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, LA, obviously, maybe even Denver, probably, I don't know, Phoenix, Houston, Miami, you know, Atlanta, and of course, Philadelphia, obviously, and a bunch of other places are going to absolutely erupt. And what are they going to do? Well, it's kind of obvious. They've already doxxed the home addresses of a bunch of ICE agents. And there's apparently some app or website out there. I'm not going to say the name, but they are apparently like tracking ICE agents and real-time reporting their locations, where they are across the country. This is clearly designed to provide targeting information to left-wing groups that are going to, I sadly predict, they're going to start firebombing the houses of these ICE agents, like with their families inside, you know? This is going to become, overnight, a kinetic warfare war zone in certain places in America. Not across the whole country, obviously. Not in the rural areas. Not even in the suburbs, really. This is going to be in the inner cities, for the most part. Or, you know, surrounding areas. The downtown areas. That's what's going to get hit. And, well, plus, wherever the ICE agents live, some of them are going to get hit. And leftists, they love to bomb things. As much as they call for peace, or they used to, I guess. Not anymore, but I mean, they're calling for, you know, war with Russia, but they used to call for peace. Even then, they still somehow, they all know how to make bombs. Is there like a radical left-wing bomb-making school somewhere or something? I don't. Where are they learning these insane skills for, you know, domestic terrorism? I don't know. They must have training camps or something in their left-wing cities, like little secret bomb-making classes or some nonsense. Anyway, they're going to start blowing things up. They're going to target vehicles, homes, government buildings, obviously, and whatever else they think they can hit to disrupt things. I've mentioned, you know, railroads and bridges and whatever, refineries and ports and power grid substations. That's another favorite target of the radical left. They really love to knock out the power to their own cities. I don't know. Why do they do that? Because they're insane. But that's what they're going to do. So this is all going to really kick off probably in the next week or two. And watch Minneapolis, because the governor there, Tim Walz, is, in my opinion, a total cartel criminal. He needs to be criminally prosecuted, and probably about 1,000 politicians in Minnesota need to be criminally prosecuted, arrested, charged. And then there's about 5,000 of them in California, another couple thousand in Washington State, and all the blue states are just filled with corrupt criminals. So I'm not a fan of the Insurrection Act invocation by Trump, just to be clear. I'm not calling for it. And I don't want government in my face when I'm trying to drive around and buy groceries or whatever. But if the Insurrection Act is invoked, I hope that Trump exploits that window to arrest all the traitors. Now, maybe I'm being naive and you're probably laughing. Oh, you think he's going to do something important? Yeah, well, okay. Maybe I have, my hopes are too high. But I do wish that some of the treasonous actors who rigged the 2020 election, for example, they still need to be arrested. It's not too late. I think they can still be arrested and charged within a 7-year window or something like that. What about Fauci? What about all the COVID fraudsters? When are they going to be arrested? Probably never. What about Newsom and that whole crime scene known as California Democrat Party? Almost every last one of them is a crook. Engaged in laundering, trafficking, you know, money laundering, fraud, campaign finance fraud, taking money from drug cartels and human traffickers. Every one of them is in on that. It's a whole, I mean, they pay off the judges and everything. That's a crime scene. That's way worse than the Somali situation in Minneapolis, by the way. So maybe there's going to be a cleanup effort, you know, clean up aisle 7. Somebody spilled a can of Democrat beans all over the floor. Somebody vomited, you know, money laundering fraud all over the floor. We have a cleanup in aisle 7. Maybe that's going to happen, but I'm probably kidding myself. Probably it's just going to end up in total chaos, and then Trump will declare the dollar's dead and do a reset into a CBDC. That's probably where this is going. And then we'll have, you know, price controls on groceries and all, like every characteristic of Venezuela will come to America. It's like, we didn't conquer Venezuela. We imported its economy. we made America Venezuela. Yeah. That's called MAVA. Make America Venezuela again. MAVA. M-A-V-A. MAVA. Make America Venezuela again. Yeah, and price controls and hyperinflation. It's all coming. There we go. So think about how quickly we went from Trump's campaign promises, like, I'm the peace president, I'm going to bring us home from the wars, to now domestic warfare, U.S. troops on the streets, masked feds shooting civilians, you know. Wow. It only took a year. And here we go. Woo, man. Be careful out there, everybody. So, look, practical advice, but you've heard this from me before. Number one, don't go out and join the mobs. There was a conservative commentator, Jake Lang. Was it Jake Lang? Sorry if I'm getting that wrong. Wasn't he also involved in the J6 situation? Anyway, he's also very critical of Muslims. I don't know why people just want to throw that in the mix right now, too. But he's very critical of Muslims. He got caught up in some mob in Minneapolis over the weekend, and they beat the snot out of him. They just about killed him, and he's in the hospital, and there's video of it. It's bad. It's bad. Look, I know there's a lot of citizen journalists out there doing their thing and getting some footage, and, you know, it's noteworthy footage. Oh, look, I almost died. But you're putting your life at risk if you do that stuff. So my advice is stay out of the mobs, number one. This thing is going to go hot also, and you don't want to be anywhere near the gunfire. So don't go out to the mobs. Stay home, you know, or stay away, wherever that happens to be. Secondly, you know, call for peace, call for de-escalation, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. This thing is going to get fought across the United States, probably for years to come. This is the final battle for the future of this republic, and it's going to go into a kinetic phase now. So, wherever you are, if you're anywhere near a blue city, well, make sure you can defend your property, your life, your family, etc. If you're far from the city, yeah, you probably don't have that much to worry about, but still, be prepared, just in case. Don't go out looking for trouble, but don't put up with trouble if it comes to your door either. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can replace the door if you have to, you know, if you have to shoot holes in it. Doors are cheap. Assert your right to defend yourself, your life, your property, etc., okay? But again, don't go out looking for trouble, obviously. And the context that I mean here is I'm talking about if radical leftists come out of the cities and start raiding people's homes and things, which they probably will, the close-by homes. So if you're there, be ready to defend yourself and also be ready to bug out if you have to. What if they set a whole neighborhood on fire or something. Because that's what leftists do. They set things on fire. When they're not blowing things up, you know, they're starting fires. So have an evacuation plan. Have a bug out set up, ready to go. Just be ready for all these scenarios because things are popping off here in 2026 already. And so Trump is facing both this international situation. Oh, yeah. Also, he's getting ready to bomb Iran again. That's coming. Oh, that's going to set off war in the Middle East again. And probably our aircraft carriers are going to get attacked. We'll cover that another day. And then on top of that, domestic warfare. And then he's at war with Europe. And it's like, oh, how many places are you going to send troops? You're going to send them to Minneapolis and Denmark, I guess. Greenland. You're going to send troops to... You're going to invade Iran also. And what about Ukraine? How many U.S. troops are still there pretending not to be U.S. troops? I don't know. Quite a few. So... U.S. military resources are going to get stretched pretty thin, but this is what it looks like in the final days of the empire, the last chapter of desperate conquering and expansionism and currency collapse. Oh, yeah, we're living history now, folks. You feeling it? This is what history feels like when it's compressed into a couple of years. You're like, oh, crap. I used to read about this, you know, in history class, but it took 100 years for this stuff to happen. Now it's like a couple of years. This is compressed history at your feet. You're living it, breathing it, smelling it. It's here. And it's not slowing down anytime soon. That's for sure. All right. Well, I promised I was going to play a special report for you today, so let me do that. And given that I rambled on for an hour and 20 minutes here, I'm going to I think I'm not going to play an interview today. I'll save that for tomorrow. Try to keep this within reason. I sit down, I think I'm going to do 20 minutes, and then I do an hour and 20 minutes. It's just crazy. Besides, I've got vibe coding to do. I need to get back to that. Thank you for your patience. Let me play this special report about depopulation, why the Western governments are definitely running depopulation agendas. And before I do that, you know, thank you for your support. Shop with us at healthrangerstore.com, where we've got clean food. We've got it in stock, the preparedness items, the ranger buckets. We've got them. So if you want to stock up on some food, get ready for the, you know, the civil war, whatever it's going to be. Well, we've got the food for you right now, and we've kept prices as low as we can. I mean, we have really been very slow to increase prices, even though our supply chain prices are going up a lot. Oh, man. You know, and we get our vitamin C out of the UK. Dang it. It's going to get another tariff slapped on it. Vitamin C. How about vitamin C you later? It's going to be so expensive. You know, the cheap vitamin C all comes out of China. Which, hey, it's a good value. It's cheap. It's the cheapest ascorbic acid on the planet. We don't buy that stuff. We buy it out of the UK. And where it's got a much cleaner, better supply line, you know, supply chain there. And I guess Trump's going to hit us with that too. Man, Trump doing it again. Hit us over India too with all the imports we have, like turmeric from India. He hit us with that. That's 50%. Now we're going to have tariffs on vitamin C. Oh, man. We'll do the best we can to keep the prices low, okay? So thank you for your support. Again, healthrangerstore.com. I'm still laughing. I'm laughing at the whole world right now. It's just off the charts insane. And AI is going to take over so many jobs. Oh my goodness. I've seen things that show me what's coming, and it's ugly. Just in terms of job replacements, okay? I've seen things with AI engines that shouldn't be possible, and they're happening in front of my eyes. And, okay, well, that's what happens. All right, anyway, I'm going to have some major news for you this week. I've got some new announcements. I got some new features. I got some new interviews. I've got cool stuff coming. And I will stay online and bring you the best I can. And to stay warm, everybody, get prepared. Call for peace. Be peaceful wherever you can. But also, yeah, make sure your rifle works. Make sure your red dot sights are working. Make sure you've got whatever you need to be safe, you know, to be secure. And then, you know, don't fret about it. Don't panic. Don't live with worry. You're going to be fine. You're going to make it through okay. You've got some silver, right? You got some food. You have all this knowledge. You listen to my podcast. You're better off than 1 in 10,000 people. So don't sweat it. You're going to be fine. You're going to make it through this, okay? It's just going to get real interesting. That's all. It's going to be history. Yeah. All right. So enjoy the podcast here, the special report coming up, and then I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. I have to keep reminding myself and I think my listeners that you can't truly understand today's events in the areas of politics and economics and tariffs and money supply and vaccines and everything else until you remember that this is a human extermination depopulation event or era that's underway right now, and that the ultimate goal is to replace billions of human beings with machines through either machine cognition or machine labor. Now, I want to mention there's been a lot of breakthroughs in robotic hands. Hands are that's the most important part of a humanoid robot. It's the most important part of human labor is the hands. And of course, hand-eye coordination is critical. You know, eyes have to work also typically, but hands have to work in terms of sensory feedback. Hands have to be not only have all kinds of different muscles, but pressure sensitivity and variable strength, being able to grip things, being able to fold things, being able to hold tools tightly, to have the strength, you know, to hold like a screwdriver as you're trying to loosen a stuck screw. That takes a lot of pressure. But at the same time, that same hand has to be able to pick up an egg without breaking it, or to be able to do something delicate involved with circuitry or what have you. Well, there have been a lot of breakthroughs in robotic hand technology recently, really more than I had anticipated. It's moved a little bit faster. The area of robotics that is still lagging is the power supply. And until batteries get a whole lot better, solid-state batteries, then robots will always lag behind. But you know that new company, well, maybe they're not new, but their new technology from Donut Lab that I've talked about a little bit, nobody knows if it's real or a hoax. Most people think it's a hoax. Some people think it's real. Maybe it is real. If it is, that will enable robots to do so much more than we ever thought possible, which means the globalists will accelerate their human depopulation agenda because the robots are, you know, faster on the way. No, seriously, battery technology having a leap of improvement actually means billions of humans will die for this very reason, or they will die sooner. Because, see, right now the machine cognition, which is leaping forward dramatically, you know, with AI, LLMs, agents, all kinds of things, that's replacing just the cognitive jobs. And I would say at this point, most human cognitive jobs can be replaced by AI, but not the labor jobs. The labor jobs require these developments in robotics, such as hand manipulation and power, as I mentioned, but also improvements in mobility and balance and obstacle avoidance and many things like that. But if that changes dramatically, then this whole timetable may have to be reconfigured. And that means the human extermination agendas won't just rely on things like vaccines and killing people slowly, poisoning them with pesticides or, you know, hormone disruptors, plasticizer chemicals, and things like that. Instead, they'll have to take it up into more of an immediate kinetic format. And that's where World War III comes into the picture. So notice that recently Trump threatened to bomb Iran. Apparently, he was about to give the go signal. The bombing was imminent. But then Russia issued a statement that said to America, hey, if you bomb Iran, there are going to be serious destructive consequences for the West. And Russia can make good on that threat because they've got the advanced technology, the Oreshnik missiles and hypersonics and advanced reentry vehicles, the hyperglide vehicles and all kinds of things. Everything from Iskander to their Sarmat 2 missile systems. They're way more advanced than the U.S. So Trump backed off for the moment, much to the despair of Netanyahu, the war criminal from Israel, that not only wants to wipe out Palestinians in an act of genocide and ethnic cleansing, but he also wants to wipe out Iranians. He wants to destroy Iran, and he wants Trump to do it. And Trump almost did it. The only thing that caused him to back off was Russia's threats. Well, there are other threats from Saudi Arabia and Turkey and others as well, but I think the Russian threat is what made the difference. But what if Trump actually wants America to be nuked because the timetable of human replacement is now being accelerated? Well, this would be the perfect way for Trump to make that happen. To say, well, let's just attack Iran and let Russia nuke America. What cities would Russia nuke, let's say? Or maybe they would hit U.S. military bases in the Middle East. Maybe they would sink aircraft carriers. Or maybe they would strike U.S. military bases in Europe. Those are likely targets. But what if they struck the U.S.? Where would they actually strike? And the curious answer is, in addition to the obvious, missile silos and military bases or command centers, they would strike blue cities. So if you're Trump and you're thinking about, hey, we have an election coming up here and we need to win, we need to stay in power in the election, but we can't let the Democrats run the election because they will cheat. There are only a couple of options to how you make sure the Democrats don't run the election. And one of those I discussed in a previous podcast, which is to declare the Insurrection Act and to deploy the military across the blue cities and have the military count the ballots. And that's not a bad idea. That's probably the least crazy idea in a basket of bad ideas. That's one of them. Like, America could survive that. And we know the Democrats will never allow an election to be honest. They will always cheat and rig because that's who they are, for God's sake. That's just who they are. But what if Trump wanted to permanently solve this problem by taking actions that result in the killing of 100 million Democrats and blaming it on Russia? Well, how could that be allowed to happen? Well, it's very simple. Bomb Iran, let Russia retaliate, and nuke America's blue cities. You see? And would Trump, look, we are way out in the field of speculation here, just to be clear. But if you ask me, would Trump allow blue cities to be nuked to kill potentially 100 million Americans in order to destroy the Democrat Party and stay in power and also allow, the GOP to continue to stay in power in 2028 and beyond? If you ask me, would Trump go along with that plan? I would have to say, I think he might. I think he might. For a number of reasons. It's not just about elections. It's also about keeping the U.S. government solvent. Yeah. No, literally nuking, if it were to happen, God forbid, if America's blue cities were to be nuked to dust, do you realize, and again, I'm not advocating this, just to be clear, I'm saying this is crazy, but the government would look at that and say, wow, look at all the money we save on everything from Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, pensions, disability payments, all of that. You realize that would be massive. And Trump is desperately trying to cut costs right now, and he's trying to find ways to sort of keep the U.S. financial system afloat. That's one way to allow that to happen. Then you could blame it all on Russia. And at the same time, Trump will have eliminated the political enemies of the Republicans for generations to come, because they will be turned to dust. So in the short term, that kind of action, that is setting up circumstances that result in America being nuked by Russia, that has political benefits for the Republicans, because Republicans are strong in areas that are not the blue cities, obviously. But it also achieves a globalist goal of human depopulation, accelerating that schedule, because robots are becoming more advanced and AI is becoming more advanced. And frankly, the governments of the world just don't need humans much longer. All right. So stepping back, you might be saying, well, that sounds crazy. No president of America would allow its own people to be killed in large numbers. And I say to you, 9/11. I say to you, George Bush already allowed that, except at a smaller scale. 3,000 people, give or take, they were sacrificed upon the altar of the great empire of the United States of America so that the deep state could roll out expansions of the Patriot Act to spy on the American people, spy on members of the Supreme Court, the U.S. Congress, and say it's all important because of terrorism or terror. We got terror, said George Bush, you know. George Bush allowed 3,000 Americans to die. And then, well, there's Gulf War syndrome, using our soldiers as experimental guinea pigs for weird vaccine experiments, huh? How many soldiers died from that? And then there's Operation Warp Speed under Trump, first administration. 1.5 million Americans already dead because Trump pushed a depopulation bioweapon disguised as a vaccine. So anybody saying, oh, presidents wouldn't allow their own people to be killed, anybody saying that, I'm sorry, they're ignorant. They're ignorant of reality. In fact, the history of the United States government is rife with numerous examples of the military running bioweapons experiments on civilian populations, such as, what year was it? 1950? Was it Operation Sea Spray, I believe, where they sprayed deadly microbes on the citizens of the Bay Area? And some people died. I mean, it wasn't deadly to everyone, but it was deadly to some people. And they knew what they were doing, the government did. And they've conducted other experiments on the American people over and over again. So if you know anything about history, you know that governments gladly allow their own people to be sacrificed as long as it shores up their power or protects their financial interests or gives them access to more weapons technology or other benefits to government. So no, the argument that, oh, government wouldn't allow Americans to be killed, that holds no water whatsoever. And anybody who says that just flat out doesn't know anything about government. Now, what if there's a deal? You see, because I think Trump did a deal with Maduro. See, Trump sending in the Navy SEALs, whoever that was, to go in and kidnap and extract Maduro, I think it was all planned. That was actually an extraction operation. And Trump doesn't control Venezuela. He didn't conquer Venezuela. He took one guy and his wife out. The rest of the people are still there running Venezuela the way it always has been run. Trump doesn't control Venezuela. He says he does, but that's not true. But I think it was all theater. And I think the helicopter raid was designed just to, you know, to make Trump look good and to have a story to tell the Venezuelan people, like, because I think Maduro did a deal with Trump, and this was all part of the deal, but Maduro also needed to sell this to his own countrymen to make it look like he was kidnapped by force, that he wasn't cooperating with the United States. So this theater serves both parties. It serves Trump, and it serves Maduro in different ways. And Maduro's probably going to be given retirement somewhere, and they'll find a body double to show up in court, whatever. Or they'll just, you know, take him to some island somewhere and kill him and shoot him in the back of the head and forget he ever existed. But what if Trump has done a deal with Russia? Or what if he's about to do a deal? And here's the deal. Hey, Russia, you nuke America, but only the blue cities. and then will nuke Russia, but only certain abandoned rural areas. And then we'll each tell our own people that we won. Now, has that kind of deal been done before? Yes, last summer, but not with nukes. It was done with Iran and Israel. There was a deal where Iran got to launch some missiles to attack a U.S. military base. I forgot exactly. I think that was in the UAE, but I don't recall exactly. And then Iran got to tell its people, yeah, we won. We attacked, you know, the great Satan enemy. We nuked or we hit their base with our missiles. And then America got to say, oh, the missiles didn't do any damage. We already evacuated, blah, blah, blah. And then Israel got to say, well, we attacked them and now they're scared. And if it wasn't for America, we'd really give them a whooping. All right, so everybody walks away with a win. Now, if you expand that up to a bigger picture, you realize that if Trump did a deal with Russia to say, hey, Putin, why don't you nuke Chicago? Why don't you nuke L.A. or Seattle, whatever, these liberal cities? You know, the United States of America can survive that. Just don't nuke the red states. Don't nuke the refineries in the Gulf Coast. Don't nuke anything in Virginia or anything near Washington, D.C. Just nuke these other cities, and we have a deal. Do you think that's impossible? Is that an outlandish idea? Not really. This is the way governments work all the time. They do deals. They do deals to kill their own people. You know, Putin gets to tell Russia, we defeated America. You know, look, we destroyed 12 cities or whatever. And Trump gets to say, we were attacked, but I will lead us to freedom, but we have to suspend elections for 10 years. Or even if you hold elections, the Democrats are all vaporized anyway. So, oh, and that's why the currency collapsed because of the Russian attack. And so we're going to have a whole new currency. Here it is, this new CBDC system. So bend over for your anal probe while we get your biometrics. And that's what you're going to use to get your new money that we will control. We have to do it because of Russia. See? Politically, everybody wins. And if you tell me, oh, there's no way that the United States government would kill large numbers of people for political purposes, I say to you, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, we already did it, and we did it twice. We use weapons of mass destruction to kill large numbers of people, mostly civilians, in order to send a message for political purposes. The bombing of those cities in Japan wasn't necessary to end World War II. It wasn't necessary at all. Japan had already been defeated. They were on the verge of surrender. The bombing of those cities was necessary to send a message to Russia to say, we have these weapons, we are willing to use them, and now you better do what we say. The nuking of Japan also sent a message to the whole world that we're in charge now. We're America. You're going to use our dollar. You're going to buy and sell oil only in our currency. You're going to do what we say. Otherwise, we might nuke you too. It was a warning to the rest of the world. And in that process, the U.S. murdered an estimated at least 300,000 Japanese citizens. You think they won't kill millions? Why? Is there a cutoff point where, well, government's evil, but not evil enough to kill 10 million. Oh, okay. If you believe that, good luck. Probably you should move to a blue city and find out. You know, if you're going to bet your life on the belief that government's not that evil, then you're playing, you know, Russian roulette, frankly, with your life. Because never underestimate the evil of government to kill its own people or to arrange for them to be killed. I mean, Trump has overseen the mass slaughter of Gazans, the killing of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Trump provided the funding, the bombs, in many cases. You think he cares about lives, even American lives? No, not at all. He'll do anything that's necessary to stay in power. And if that means arranging for American cities to be nuked, I think he would do it. And then that achieves the acceleration of the depopulation goal towards robotic replacement. See? Think about it. Oh, you know, all these cities got destroyed. We need to rebuild them. What are we going to use? Robots. So we rebuild Chicago with robots, and then it's a city of robots instead of a city of Democrats. And currently, robots don't vote. So politically, Trump's problem is solved. And at that point, no one would argue with more government spending, would they? Well, we have to spend money. We have to rebuild Chicago. You know, at that point, no one could argue with the administration about anything because it would be a time of war. And if you disagree with the president, you would disappear into a deep, dark hole. If you had a newspaper or a website that published anything against the administration, you'd be arrested and imprisoned and have it all shut down under wartime powers that Trump claims he has. You see? Solves all of his political problems all at once, gets rid of Democrats. It actually stimulates the economy with all the rebuilding after the bombing. It blames everything on a foreign enemy. It resets the currency. It allows the great taking, the great theft of American assets. And it keeps Trump and the GOP in power for a decade or more. No, probably generations. So you think they wouldn't do that? I think they would. See, because I don't underestimate the evil of these people. That's why I don't live in a blue city. Anyway, do what feels right to you, obviously, but be prepared for craziness to happen. You might disagree with my assessment, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you're probably thinking, well, it could be right. I don't think so, but it's possible, given how crazy the world is today. Yeah, you're probably thinking that. It's possible. So be prepared just in case. In the meantime, let's work together to make America a more free and more decentralized nation. You can use all of our AI tools free of charge at brightlearn.ai or brightanswers.ai or brightnews.ai. Spread the word, use our tools, and get prepared for the possibility of global thermonuclear war. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Start your day right with our organic hand-roasted whole bean coffee. Low acid, smooth and bold. Lab-tested and ethically sourced. Taste the difference. Only at HealthRangerStore.com.